It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by WCF Insurance.
Reminding you to be careful out there.
On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
But for all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Hello, beautiful difference makers. You are loved. I have full faith in you that you are a world changer, that you are the light of the world, and that you're going to just make a beautiful difference in this one day. Let it be extravagant. Let it be bold. I love you guys. Bye.
Welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, hope you are well. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Scotty?
Doing all right. Voice is a little ragged after last night. It's a fun game.
A lot of fun, man. Three big wins in the state in college basketball and a lot of fun. Tell me a little bit about it. How did things go?
It was like Frazier Ali. It was the final was 57-45. A lot of defense in that game.
57-45?
Yeah. Yeah, not a high-scoring game by any stretch. But it was entertaining because it was the two best defensive teams in the conference, and it was a slugfest.
And now they rematch, right?
Yep, play again on Saturday, 11:30 a.m. on CBS network game.
Well, if they can do that back-to-back, that'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you look at, in particular, BYU and Utah State, their computer numbers are climbing dramatically. So Utah's got some work to do, but BYU and Utah State's starting to put together a pretty good resume.
I saw a tweet come from the SID department, or one of the guys that works in the SID department in Logan. What did he say about a 45 point performance? Or there's something Utah State has done that they haven't done since like 1950 or something, coming from Doug. I thought I saw you retweet it.
Yeah,
I thought
hold
that's
on a
how
sec
I
here.
I mean, some of the things that they're doing are unprecedented.
Three straight conference opponents holding them to 46 or fewer points. The last team to do that was the 1949-1950 team.
Come on, that's incredible.
Yeah, the defense is ridiculous. Offense has a little bit of work to do to get to where it needs to be consistently. But defensively, that is an elite defensive team.
Well, good for them starting 0-7 in conference play, too.
7-0.
Or 7-0.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And none of those were by single digits either. Everything has been by – I mean, that 12 points was the smallest margin of victory that they've had in those seven games.
Huh. I didn't have an opportunity to watch that game, but I did settle in for some West Coast Conference play at 9 p.m., watching it on ESPN2, and actually rather enjoyed myself. It was some kind of similar to probably what you were looking at. A lot of defense, a lot of missed shots.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Mary's could not make a basket to save their lives. You know what else it was? It watching college basketball, at least watching this game and watching BYU and St. Mary's and the way their style, it's almost like a completely different game than the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Completely sure. Different game.
And there's a lot of people out there that rip on the college game, and I understand it. There's some, you know, you see some very different levels of athleticism and what guys can do at the college level and the NBA level. But I do appreciate the college game at a really high level, and I really enjoy it. I know there's some people that like to rip on it, but, I mean, BYU locked down St. Mary's down the stretch. I mean, it looked like, and I'm listening to the game driving home, and it just felt like that St. Mary's is up by, I think, what, 7?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, boy, BYU's in a little bit of trouble. And then BYU put the clamps down, ended the game, what, on a 22-2 run? Somewhere around there, but.
Yeah, 19-2 maybe.
Yeah.
Or 22-2, yeah, right in
somewhere
there.
Somewhere in that range.
I think St. Mary's scored like 2 points over the final 10, 30.
It went scoreless over, you know, almost a 10-minute stretch.
That was kind of tough to watch, like St. Mary's just completely struggling. But it was also interesting to watch BYU make some defensive adjustments. They rolled into a zone coming out in the second half that caused all kinds of problems. They rotated in George. George caused different problems. The thing that is crazy watching college basketball and the difference of it is, you know, watching St. Mary's feed the ball down to Matthias Tass, one of their big guys. And if you look at ball possession, to actually think that a forward or a center would have more ball possession time than maybe a guard, you just don't see it very often. And I know that that ball spent most its time in Kusi's hands, but they kept pushing it down to Tass, and you just don't see a big man put it on the floor, post up, go straight, throw his hips back, put a couple of dribbles in, try to make a move inside. You know, like, you just don't see that anymore.
Yeah, and Utah State does the same thing with Demish Keita. That offense runs through him almost every single possession. He leads the team in assists.
So what he's doing, though, is it pushes down to him, he gets position, and then he fires it out to the perimeter.
Or tries to finish at the rim, one of the two. I mean, he had 16 points, led the team in scoring last night down low, but also can pass out of the post too.
I was really happy to see BYU come out of that arena and in that game with a win, because there was some time there where I thought, this is just not looking good. St. Mary's owned the lead through the entire first half and parts of the second half. But I really like Barcello. I like his style. I like his game. Every time St. Mary's went down and made a bucket and it looked like it was a 4-point lead or a 6-point lead, Barcello would come right back down the court in some type of transition movement. And he would position himself on the elbow, or he'd position himself free throw line extended right in that area and find a soft spot and hit a jumper. Or he would make some type of ball movement and work off a screen, or he would work independently, split a double team and get to the rim and score two that was like absolutely necessary while St. Mary's was making some offensive moves. So I liked what he did. Harms made it absolute hell to try to score in the low post. I don't even know why anybody was trying to score against Harms in low post. He was blocking everything. He's pretty stout for as slender as he is. But yeah.
Well, and he turned it on too, because in the first part of the second half, St. Mary's getting all kinds of points at the rim.
Yeah, right.
His guards were getting to the rim fairly easily. And, you know, our good friend Mark Durant was like, Harms has got to be better. That's ridiculous. You can't let guards score over the top of you like that.
And he did.
And apparently Harms, maybe no fans in the stands. Maybe Harms heard that. I don't know. But he became much better in that second part of the second half.
Second half. He absolutely did. Had some huge blocks and got a lot more physical, a lot more aggressive. And it was fun, man. I'm not going to lie, man. I like that. I like that. I know it's just me. I know it's nobody else. It's because it's my job. And, you know, flipping on ESPN at 9 o'clock when the kids are headed to bed and everything quiets down, and it's a completely different game in a small arena. And it was fun, man. I loved kicking back, and it was nice to see BYU. What they lost, like six straight in that arena?
Seven straight.
Seven straight in that arena, and they shake that
off. Well, it's been 7 years. Maybe there was a year they didn't go down there. So maybe it's six straight, 7 years.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But really appreciated what I saw from Lohner. I like what Lohner does in the rebounding game.
Lohner's going to be fun.
A young kid.
He's still a little raw, but I think there's a lot of potential there where he could be a fun player to watch over his BYU career.
I'd say he had probably – well, the two offensive boards he had were in clutch parts of the second half. And some of the defensive boards he was able to pull down in the second half were so big. And he's a hustler to the rebound. It's not like he just uses his size to get to the rebound. He actually tracks the ball and gets to it, aggressively gets to the rebound. And I do appreciate that. Instead of just a 7'2" guy that stands at the rim and if it doesn't fall into his hands, then somebody else is going to rip it from him. There were probably three times that ball was a 50-50 ball, could have gone to St. Mary's, and Lohner just brutalize the dude, ripping it out of his hands. And so,
well, I mean,
I love that kind of fight.
Yeah, for an 18-year-old, the dude's built like a Greek god. I mean, you
is
know,
he still 18?
Well, I mean, he's a true freshman.
Yeah, so he's right in that range, yeah. 18, 19.
Yeah, so, I mean, the dude is just built like a truck.
He is.
And so he can muscle up and get some opportunities there. Yeah, I think you've got a really fun situation right now where teams are starting to separate themselves, and now it's about positioning and trying to build the resume. And that was a game that BYU really needed to have for their at-large resume.
Right.
And so you go to St. Mary's, you get a win. You're not going to beat Gonzaga again. I mean, that's just not in the cards. But if St. Mary's can continue to hopefully play well after this, then you can start to build that resume to get to a point where you can be in the conversation for an at-large bid where BYU is right now. Utah State is developing that resume right now. And you know, the funny thing is Utah State and BYU fans probably don't like each other, but they need both teams to do really well going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, BYU's got a nice win against Utah State. They need Utah State to keep winning games. Statistically, that's their best win right now. And frankly, even though Utah State lost to BYU, that helps their strength of schedule. It was a close game up in Logan. You want BYU to play well to build your resume as well. So, you know, it's kind of a interesting alliance between those two teams going forward as they're going to be tied at the hip for a bit.
Well, it bums me out that the West Coast Conference is continually dominated by Gonzaga. It'd be nice to think, well, BYU could actually get themselves a tournament win and secure a trip to the NCAA tournament. But like you mentioned, you just can't count on it. So you better start doing everything outside of that to try to secure that opportunity to get back to the tournament. Because we missed out on a fantastic BYU team in tournament play last year as the tournament got canceled. Where that BYU team was and you know, they were starting to peak and their perimeter attack was spectacular and everybody wanted to see them on that national stage, and then it gets canceled. Just thinking back to that team last year and their perimeter attack and what they were able to do, I think that was a better team than this team.
Oh, yeah, by a mile.
But I think that this team's got some bigs. I think they got some hustle, little bit of fight. They were down, and the fight came. You know, you put Harward out on the court. You put Lohner on the court. You rotate in Gideon George to get yourself some defense going, and Gideon is all up in everybody's personal space. And you were able to make a difference. So I thought that there were some good moves by Coach Pope.
Yeah, but make no mistake, last year's team would have taken this year's team and taken it behind the woodshed.
I believe that, yeah.
I don't think it's particularly close.
I believe
that was a really special team last year. And this team has a potential to be that. They're not there right now. I mean, you know, we can heap some praise on St. Mary's as being a pretty good team, but remember, this is a team lost to San Diego State by 15. They've already lost to Santa Clara. They lost to Memphis. This isn't one of St. Mary's better teams.
Right. All right. And I that's one thing that I really hope is I hope we don't have to suffer through one of these random losses for BYU and West Coast Conference play. Like a Loyola Marymount, like watching them lose to an unexpected Toro. Like, I don't want to see something like that with this team.
It happens every year, so.
Just be consistent.
You might need to be prepared for it. I mean, they got San Francisco coming up. That could be a 50-50 game. I mean, they may very well lose to San Francisco, who's actually a pretty good team. You got another game against St. Mary's. The ones you can't lose to is like when you play Portland, who's ranked 294th in the Ken Pomeroy rankings. You can't lose. Can't lose to that.
Can't afford it.
No.
The college game is pretty fun, though, Scotty. It's just way unique. It feels like there's a lot more passion that's on the court than in an NBA game. It feels like there is more hustle at times. But knowing what I know about NBA athletes and the way the NBA game is played, there's still a lot of speed. There's a lot of heart and hustle. It's just you don't see it like you see it. Like it's not as apparent in the professional game as it is in the college game. You know, when you're seeing dudes go after 50-50 balls and they're putting their bodies on the floor, there was probably three or four times that there were bodies all over the floor. I thought knees were going to come out of place and ankles were going to get ripped out. These guys were going after the ball trying to win this game. And it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, no
I
doubt.
I enjoyed it.
Yep. Good night. Utah, by the way, getting the win against Stanford. Snapping their four-game skid as well, and that's a nice win. Stanford's a pretty good team, so that's a nice win for the University of Utah and Larry Kraskowiak. All right, 10:18. Let's get to it. Starting lineup now, right here on 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Well, I was kind of glad to see the Utah Jazz get a little extended rest. They had their game against the Wizards canceled, which would have been a back-to-back game. It would have been the final of seven consecutive road games. I think that this team was probably fatigued at the end of those 10 days that they were on the road. It would have been a total of 11, and they'd have been home on the 12th. But instead, they get home, they get an extra day, they get on the court. And I actually want to emphasize this, Scotty. There were back-to-back games that were kind of confusing to us with the Nets and the Knicks. Both those games were kind of confusing. And from what I understand, in those games, the Utah Jazz didn't have an opportunity to get on a practice court. But then after that Knicks game, remember, they got out on the practice court. They found themselves a few more reps off the perimeter, a few more reps in positioning, and they found some timing with practice court time. And I think that they're going to get a little bit of that, or have had a little bit of that with that extra day off and coming back here and getting into their facilities and now taking on Atlanta here at Vivint Smart Home Arena tonight. I think that this team should look more prepared, a little bit more crisp, a little bit more clean, have higher percentages. And I think the Utah Jazz should continue to improve. I think they need more court time, and it's just hard to find court time in COVID days.
Oh, yeah, and now it's with the new protocols, it's even limited even more. And honestly, I highly doubt you're going to see a lot of it just because of COVID, because of a weird schedule. And, yeah, it's just it's probably not going to be – your court time is going to come on the court when you're playing games. And there's going to be some practices and some shoot-arounds in there, but not nearly what you'd see during a normal NBA season. And the chemistry thing, I think, is really important for this team because I think you're starting to see this team turn the corner in terms of kind of figuring each other out and really going exactly onto schedule as to what you're looking at. Right now you've got Atlanta coming up tonight, and then you're going to play every other day for the next essentially 10 days.
Wow.
You've got five games in where you're playing every other day. So you'll play Atlanta tonight, then you hit the road, and then you play Denver, and then you've got three consecutive games in this stretch where you're going to be at home. Overall, you're going to have six consecutive games at home, which is going to be really critical for this team. But overall, you're not going to have a two-day break until January 23rd through the 26th. So be ready. You're playing every other day. So there's not going to be a lot of time for practices. There's not going to be a lot of time to for extended shoot-arounds or anything like that. This team's going to have to learn how to play together on the fly, and I think they're doing it too. I'm not too overly concerned about that at this point.
Well, I think we're going to see some good play tonight. This Atlanta team is having all kinds of issues. They're a 5-5 team, Scotty. They went 1-4 in the last five. But the strange thing about it, like – you know how the Jazz, they'll lose some unexplainable games and then they'll get this insane win? That's kind of what Atlanta did, lost some unexplainable games, and then they get a win against Philly, and then they have a postponement, and now they're back out on the court against the Jazz tonight. But there's a couple of guys that won't be on the court for them. Bojan Bogdanovic's brother, Bogdan, is not going to be on the court, ripped out a knee, and I believe I think that was a season injury, if I remember right, when that happened. Also, they're not going to have Daniela Gallinari on the court, which, you know, when you take Gallinari and Bogdanovic off the court, that's going to be a problem for any team. And Atlanta sitting at 5-5. I just don't. This is a team that the Jazz should lead from start to finish. They should lead from start to finish, and especially coming back home. And
I get nervous when we say this.
I know. I get it.
Like I almost I get feel it, like if the Jazz lose this game, it'll be our fault.
No, I'm not going to look at it that way.
And more importantly, your fault.
No, I'm not taking that heat. But when you look at the game against Detroit, and then you look at the game that they had against Cleveland to finish off that, the six-game road trip that they ended up with. Those two games they absolutely should have won, and both those games they absolutely did win in convincing fashion. There were never any questions on the court against Cleveland, and that's what I want to see against Atlanta tonight. This is a Jazz team that, with the exception of Joe Ingles, is pretty healthy, and Jawan Morgan, but with the exception of the Joe Ingles, is a pretty healthy team.
Joe Ingles, who hopped on with DJ and PK earlier today, still dealing with that Achilles issue, and I don't know if this is a father time issue starting to catch up with Joe Ingles, but you do want to be really careful when you're dealing with those Achilles. Because if you feel like it's on the verge of snapping, you bring it way back. Because once that thing goes, you're done for a long, long time.
Yeah, there's been a strange rash of Achilles ruptures across basketball lately. We just saw one at BYU. We've seen plenty in the NBA. Like, we're seeing Achilles pop way too often.
Well, you're a Doc Talk guy. Is that because we're rushing into this thing? We haven't had a lot of practice time?
Maybe. But I would say over the last 5 years, it feels like there's just been an increase in Achilles injuries. Like, I go back to my time, and the Liz Frank and Achilles, they just never happened. In the late 90s, early 2000s, you just didn't see an Achilles. I'm trying to think. In my 5 years at BYU and my 7 years playing professionally, I never had a teammate tear an Achilles. Never. I never had a teammate. I think one. Actually, I had one teammate with a Liz Frank. That's it. In 12 years of football, college and professional. Just didn't see it. And Scotty, it might be. It might be. It also might be overtraining. You know, we did take more time off in my time.
Yeah.
We allowed the ligaments and tendons and joints to heal more.
I mean, professional football is a year-round job now.
Yeah. Even more than it was for me.
Yeah.
In my time.
When you have OTAs, mini camps, all that other stuff that you add into it, I mean, it's
But I will tell you, it's not as abusive. I had a conversation with an NFL PA rep, current NFL PA rep when I was in Bermuda a couple years ago. And he said, you wouldn't even recognize practice anymore. You wouldn't even recognize it. And he knew that I had played for Jim Moore Sr. And he said, Jim Moore Sr. and that style is completely eliminated from the professional game. It just does not exist. So they do back off, but there's more time. There's more press. It's
you don't have as much downtime.
I wonder if it's leading them. But to your point, you hit it exactly. If Joe Ingles feels tightness, take him off the court.
Yep.
Hamstrings, Achilles, groins, if you feel a twinge of tightness, off the court, and you wait until that thing is healed. Otherwise, we're looking at 6-8 weeks on a hamstring or a season with an Achilles.
Exactly.
Maybe a career.
And at this point, yeah, it might be.
Maybe a career.
All right, 1026, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans, we're hanging out here at Built Bar. Like, New Year's resolutions are upon us. You want to eat healthier. You want to eat better food. Adam's hanging out with us. Adam, you could knock off both those things right down here at Built Bar.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
So I have to preface this with the disclaimer that whatever this guy says, all the claims that this guy makes, Built Bar can't be held responsible for it. However, it's probably been proven that if you eat Built Bars, it'll prevent Achilles injuries.
Oh, okay.
And it'll prevent Liz Franks.
Yeah, yeah, so it's a preventative, huh?
I don't know anybody who eats Built Bars every day who's ever torn an ACL. So, I mean, I eat them every day.
I haven't torn one.
It's probably not causation, but I don't remember.
But you might as well just run with it.
Yeah. So,
I'm at like the Pavlov experiment. I'm like at that level. I see a Built Bar wrapper, and I just start to salivate.
You start drooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I start salivating because it. It's a next level flavor for a protein bar.
It's a different experience, huh?
It's completely different.
I mean, it tastes better, obviously. It's way better for you, obviously. But beyond that, like, it's an experience when you bite into a Built Bar. It's like you go to a different place for a minute.
You know, people talk about the flavor. I'm actually a big fan of the texture.
What's your favorite flavor?
My favorite flavor right now, like it's, I've probably gone through three, but it's salted caramel right now.
Oh, yeah?
And I actually like a frozen salted caramel.
So you're not the cherry Barcia anymore.
I still love the cherry Barcia, yeah. but I started freezing the salted caramel.
Yeah.
And I just pull that out of the freezer, and you bite into that, and it's just a little bit more chewy consistency.
See, I'll keep them in the fridge.
I'm not gonna, cool, not frozen.
I haven't quite done the freezer, but the fridge.
Freeze a salted caramel because it's not the crack break that you would get like if you put a Milky Way in.
Yeah.
It just freezes it and it makes it even a more chewy consistency.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you feel like you've got a lot of chewing in it. It's just an amazing bar.
It's so fun. Like right now, your New Year's resolutions, whether it's I want to play more with the kids, you want energy, get a Built Bar. You want to lose a little weight, get a Built Bar, right?
Yeah.
Like no matter what those resolutions are, you can choose to exercise more, eat better, try to sleep more, or you can just get a Built Bar, and it just takes care of all those things for
low
you.
Low calorie, low sugar, high protein. If you're on keto, you can go with that too. You can lose and maintain weight while indulging in your Built Bars. So here's the answer to New Year's resolution. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code ZONE, and you get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code ZONE gets you 20% off at BuiltBar.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Brett McMurphy, national college football writer and insider for Stadium Network. The way too early top 25s came out. You had Utah at number 11. And curious what you saw in Utah that you have your expectation for them set so high.
I don't think you can penalize Utah or any of the Pac-12 teams based on last season. And if they had played a full season, I think people would look at them totally different coming into this year. And there's a friend of mine that works for the Action Network. He let me see his power ratings, and I don't remember specifically where he had Utah. But I believe they were no lower than like 13th or 14th in his power rating. So I think you'll see Utah in a lot of top 15, top 20s when his preseason rankings start coming out. Now, it's one thing to start there and it's another thing to end there. But obviously, it's a good jumping off point.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hanging out down here at Built Bar. And remember, you want your order at 20% off. It's real simple. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code ZONE, and get 20% off your next order. So we talked a little bit about the Rudy Gobert, Shaquille O'Neal. Weird. I don't know what's going on. Shaq has somehow gotten a problem with Rudy and his big contract. And he's come at Rudy quite a bit. Rudy had media availability yesterday and was asked about Shaquille O'Neal coming after him and saying that a guy only scores 11 points a game isn't worthy of all that money. And here was Rudy Gobert's here's his response.
I mean, regarding Shaq, I think he's just doing his job. You know, he's an entertainer now. He speaks on TV and Shaq is one of the guys that I looked up to as a young basketball player, and is someone that I respect. You know, that doesn't mean that I respect everything that he says, but I don't take it personal. You know, I think he's just doing his job, and my job is to help my team win, and you know, nothing will ever distract me from doing that.
I think he hit it right on the head. First off, I like the fact that he took the high road on it.
Yeah.
And the other part that I admire is the fact that he's like, look, he's an entertainer. He's going to say some things.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to create content. We've got to create 20 hours of content every week. Those guys have to create tons of content every week. And so they've probably got a producer. Hey, look, we got a Jazz game coming up. Rudy Gobert got a big contract. What do you guys think? Shaq's over there thinking, what's my new angle on this? Oh, well, you know what? He only scores 11 points a game. I don't think he's worth that. And they drag it through the mud,
exactly.
And they get all kinds of run out of it.
Exactly. They've got 350 guys to worry about in the NBA. They've got all kinds of names and numbers, and they've got contracts, and then they've got all kinds of side stories, and then they've got their primary stories, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, the big trade. Okay, they've got all these things that they're really worried about, concerned about, and you are absolutely right. He's looking across the sheet, and he's like, wow, that's a lot of money for Rudy. Rudy scores 11 points? Oh, well, there's our issue. And then he goes with it. And guess what? Fine for him. He gets paid. It is a question mark. It's like, all right, well, in modern-day NBA, is that really where you want to spend your money? On the defensive side of the ball? On a big man that gets blocked shots and finishes at the rim? Is that really where you want to spend? You can ask the question, but the reality is Rudy Gobert does enough and deserves the money. I thought it was interesting that the Christian Wood kind of followed that up. Maybe a lot of people don't know Christian Wood, but I think Christian Wood is going to be a household name pretty quickly. Now that Harden is out and Wood is going to be more responsible on the offensive side of the ball. And yesterday, Shaquille O'Neal in a post-game conference was basically said to Christian Wood, look, man, I didn't know much about your game, but I got to see it tonight. And Christian Wood quickly called him, oh, well, that's because you're a casual. I have never heard somebody called a casual. So I looked it up and I actually tweeted out what the meaning of a casual is. A person, often when referring to gamers or any other target, that isn't really into it and only does this activity on an infrequent basis while being terrible at what they do. Can be described as weak sauce.
Did you have to go Urban Dictionary on this?
Yeah. Can be described as weak sauce. Here it is in usage. Dude, I hate all those people who play Farmville on Facebook. They probably haven't even ever picked up a controller in their lives. And then Mike answers back, yeah, they're a bunch of casuals. So this young man used it towards Shaq. I don't think Shaq really picked up. If I was called a casual, I wouldn't have known. But now I would, and I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Let's back up. Did you just call me a casual? Because I dominated the league for years, and now I'm making $20 million to sit behind a desk and talk about fools like you. So are you sure you want to call me? Like, you know, I would be offended by it now. Shaq just let it go. But it was meant as a major slight.
Well, you hear it and you kind of think, okay, well, you know, that's he's just saying that he doesn't really pay that much attention. But obviously the definition goes a little bit nastier than that.
It does.
So, yeah, up until about 10 minutes ago, had Adam walked in here and said, man, you're a bit of a casual. I've been like, oh, okay, well, that wasn't very nice, but we can
I don't wear a lot of suits.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now if he said, I'm like, oh, hey, ow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if somebody's going to tip Shaq out on that, and then he's going to come a little harder.
Well, this goes back to your point you made yesterday. You just don't get in a back and forth with those guys. They will win.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Because they'll do it every night, and then they're going to, any mistake you make, they'll play a highlight of it.
Yep.
And they'll laugh. It's like, who was the guy whose mom finally had to step in? Oh, it was JaVale McGee.
yeah.
On the because it was Shaq and a fool. And finally, JaVale McGee's mom gets on Twitter. Like, enough. You guys showing highlights of my son every single night. Can you finally dial it down a little bit? And then they're like, oh, sorry. When moms get involved, we got to calm down a little bit. And then they had some fun with that.
Yeah, but that one is JaVale's fault. Like, he deserved to be on Shaq and a fool.
I don't disagree.
So, but like what they'll do is, you know, they'll put a picture of Christian Wood's face on a 2x4 and have Shaq karate chop it, and everybody will see it break, and Shaq will do those, you know, the karate moves that he does, and then people will love Shaq and think that it's just not worth the fight. They get the airtime. They've got the big voice. They've got the say. Rudy did it. He handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfectly. And then if I'm Rudy and I have a 24-point night, because, you know, every once in a while maybe he'll get a 16, 18, 20-point night, I'll just make sure if I'm a 20 and 12 night to say, oh, hey, will somebody let Shaq know? You know, maybe have some fun back that way.
Yeah.
But I think that he really handled himself well. And I want to tag those comments with this. I do know that Rudy has said things in the media or in front of public that doesn't sit real well with his teammates. It's happened before.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened in his time with the Jazz. And the way he just handled that Shaquille O'Neal question tells me that he is learning. And I know we've got language barrier issues and we've got all kinds of things that we deal with when international players come into this league. And I played with an international player. We butted heads. He didn't see eye to eye with me. I didn't see eye to eye with him. You just have different ideas of how you're supposed to behave. And I'm feeling like Rudy Gobert is starting to understand what's expected of him more.
Well, and I maybe he's learned it, or somebody in the Jazz office said, "Hey, look, you know." And granted, this is an adage towards newspapers, but you don't get into a fight with people who buy ink by the barrel, because they're always going to have the last word. And I think he was smart in saying, "Look, you know, I like Shaq. I love Shaq. I respect him as a player. Doesn't mean I have to respect everything he says." Boom. End of story.
That's it. Ends it. Puts a fork in it.
The one little shtick that they've got going on inside the NBA that I think is really, really smart and also really accurate and very funny is the reference to the Brooklyn team as, essentially Kevin Durant went from the Splash Brothers to the Dribble Brothers.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Because that's exactly what that team, that is 100% accurate.
Yep.
And by the way, did you see that Houston, I can't remember what I saw it on SportsCenter, but they had more passes in an individual game last night than they've had in several years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that stat.
And because, look, James Harden's off the court. Now you can move the ball around a little bit. Now you can get your offense going. Look, James Harden's an elite offensive player, but he is a dribble-dominant offensive player. And when he's out, guys were able to move the ball around a little bit more, and they had a nice win last night.
Yeah, and that's where you get the emergence of Christian Wood.
Yeah.
And people start talking about him and his 27 points. And he was 27 and 15 last night. And he hit 5 off the perimeter. And he moves well. He really does. And you get this emergence of talent that's been suppressed by a guy that maybe was verbally abusive or dominated the ball or on-court minutes or position minutes. And now you get a little time to breathe, and you will see guys start to flourish a little bit.
Well, from your experience in a locker room and working with the media, and I don't think you ever dealt with a situation quite like this, but there's sometimes when a guy gets traded and you can tell that the teammates of the team that he left, they're not happy the fact that he's gone. And they're like, it's a front office. It's not something we wanted to see. He's a brother of ours, and we wish him well and feel bad that he's no longer a member of a team. Those mm-hmm. Rocket teammates right now almost are doing verbal cartwheels with the fact that he's gone.
Yep.
Those dudes are fired up that James Harden is no longer on that team.
They're having to bite their tongue not say even more.
And they're saying a lot, and you can tell they want to say more. You're right. And I think that's what's been really fascinating in this, is that he was not a popular guy in that Houston locker room.
Well, it's tough because you never win that way. And whether it's the college game or the professional game, you can't win that way. You know, there were seniors that graduated along the way in my time in college football that as they graduated and left, the entire team and coaching staff cheered it. And they were like, finally. Like, there were those guys. But it does no good for anybody to really go into depth as to why and talk about it. I think that Houston is just – they're just having to suppress their urge to say, this man has been an absolute cancer through the offseason, through the bubble, through whatever they've gone through with him. And it would be hard not to talk. It'd be really tough, wouldn't it, to be a player on that Houston team and to know what he was doing and how it was affecting the coaching staff and the organization and his teammates and to not talk. You would want to just get in front of a camera and just be like, look, here's the deal. We had 3 workouts planned where we were all doing this, and this guy decided that this club and this club and this club, and he did this, and you would want to do that. It just doesn't do any good.
No, you're right.
It does no good at all.
Hans and Scotty, 1046, just getting started here on the show. Coming up a little bit later on, you're going to hear from Craig Bowlerjack. Also expect to hear from Brock Miller from that Utah State basketball team as well. It's all straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Number one. Make us your number one.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Craig Buller, Jack's going to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes from right now. All right, so, Johnny, I don't know if you can fire up your mic here. Just a real quick question here. So,
yes, sir.
So they are building a replica of the Titanic?
They are.
They are.
They're doing a Titanic 2 is what it's going to be called.
And so, and it's going to leave, it's going to take that same route, Southampton to New York.
Yes, sir.
Would you do it?
Is it an exact replica?
It says Blue Star Line, which is, I believe, the original. Blue okay. Star Line says it will have the most original feature, including the grand staircase that played a pivoted role, of course, in the movie, but all of that will be like on a boat. It's supposed to look just like the original Titanic.
It needs to be completely original. Like it has to have the capability of possibly sinking.
No, well, Lloyd, I actually agree with Lloyd.
Like, it does, absolutely.
I want this to be a coal-fired boat. With those huge yes. piston turbines. I want, like, I don't want all this new technology where you can, I don't know.
You need somebody out there on a pole smelling for icebergs.
So what it says here, it says the Titanic 2 meant to be an exact copy of the infamous liner, but with modern safety and navigation equipment.
Oh, see, where's the fun in that? Like,
it's boring.
Like, I think
Boo.
Lloyd's got a point. You want to get on there and.
You want to die?
You know what? And
no,
you
just want to feel like you might.
And you're like, and they're like, hey, you know what? It's kind of 50-50. We make it to New York. Like,
I want to hear the captain say, okay, let's light the last boiler.
Well, here's the thing, though. We've learned. Like, we know now if you puncture a few holes, you know what gates to close. Didn't they say they could have prevented it?
I think there's a lot of things they could have done to prevent it.
Because I thought that they said
they probably shouldn't have lit the last boiler, but
mm-hmm. was that the issue?
Well, they really started picking up speed, so yeah, that was a problem.
I would be totally fine with all the old technology, the boiler room, the coal operated, all that. But the second they try to serve me tea and crumpets, I'm going to be like. Get that
no.
silly garbage out of my face.
And I want the prime rib.
I want the prime
rib. Well, it says here that you can purchase first, second, and third class tickets.
Oh, okay, just that? Okay.
And you remember the movie?
Yeah,
the party was in the third class underneath.
Oh, was it?
That's where they were dancing and singing and playing music.
So the third class had the party.
Oh, yeah.
Dudes up top had the cigars and the scotch, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll accommodate 2,435 passengers.
So Scotty and I,
here we go.
And they better only have boats enough for the better half.
And here's the see, this is, I know when we might get in trouble when Hans leans back in his chair with a smile on his face.
Scotty and I on the cruise, and Scotty and I finish up a nice dish of prime rib, head back to the room, and he starts drawing me like his French women. That's where things get really interesting.
Would you Costanza your way through all the people if the boat's going
I
down?
I would, man. Just a set of boxers and let Scotty go to work.
Nice.
All right, what you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's official, Scotty. Urban Meyer has been hired by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now we get to see what Urban Meyer is able to do.
I forgot Urban's still only 56 years old. He's still relatively young in this whole thing.
Who's retired more, Floyd Mayweather or Urban Meyer? Who's retired and come back more?
All right, so Urban retired at Florida and retired at Ohio State.
So he's got two retirements?
Two retirements,
yeah. I think Floyd's got like four.
Okay.
You saw you saw that Conor McGregor is back now. I think next weekend.
Yeah.
He came out
of retirement. I was going to ask you about that.
I'm wondering if I don't know. He's going to lose. I mean, that's what my gut tells me. I think he's going to lose, and I don't know much about the UFC anymore. I've fallen off track. They've rubbed me the wrong way a few times, and I need to pay more attention, but I think he's damaged goods.
Back to Urban, I think he's flirted with the NFL a couple times, but now taking the Jacksonville Jaguar job. They'll get Trevor Lawrence, but this is a team that's going to need some work, and it's going to need some help. And I don't know how this is going to play out, but I do believe that you've got a team, that you've got a coach that is certainly a attention to detail guy. He's a motivator, but I just don't know if that level of motivation works at the NFL. And I am fascinated. This is my number one fascinating storyline going into the NFL next year.
I saw a meme that just had me dying laughing. It said, it was a picture of Urban and Trevor Lawrence together. And it said, if you didn't like us at 1-15, don't like us at 4-12. Or if you couldn't appreciate us at 1-15, then don't even waste your time at 4-12. It's cracking me up because it's pretty accurate. If he gets to 500 or above 500 in his first year, congratulations. That's significant improvement. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, but what about year two, year three? You know, that's what I'm – nobody expects him to make the playoffs next year. Nobody expects it to be 500 next year. But remember, you know, look, Jimmy Johnson and Troy Aikman, their first year in Dallas, they went 1-15.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a history there of getting off to a bad start, and then 4 years later they're winning a Super Bowl. And winning a bunch of Super Bowls. So the question is, are they a team that – is he a coach and is Trevor Lawrence a quarterback that you can build around and eventually become that championship team? That's what I'm curious about.
I wish that there was a way to keep track of a future prediction, Scotty, because if I was to make that prediction, I would say that Urban Meyer will not win a – divisional playoff round. I don't think he will get to a conference championship game before Jacksonville moves in a different direction. Just the way I feel about Jacksonville, and I know that Jacksonville's had a couple years. They've had some things, but they're so far behind. I just don't see Urban coming in and turning things around and getting them to a conference championship game. I don't see it. I just think odds tell us that the percentages go against him more than they go for him.
In a big way, too. And it's not just about the coach. You got to have the GM. You got to draft right. See, Urban can go out and recruit and say he can identify the players he wants and go out and get them. In the NFL, you've got to hopefully hit on kids on a draft, and then you've got to somehow convince free agents to come to Jacksonville, which, you know, look, Jacksonville's got warm weather. But other than that, it doesn't really have a lot going for it.
Yeah.
It's not a highly sought-after free agent location. It's not Miami. It's not Los Angeles. It's Jacksonville. And if you've been to Jacksonville, that's about the best way to describe it. It's Jacksonville.
Uh-huh. I also look at them having to take on a young Tennessee team for the next 3 years, and a very good, very solid young Tennessee team that I think is going to get better. You're never going to be able to get past the Chiefs. You know, you've got an up-and-coming Buffalo Bills team that's young and only looks to continue to improve. And I just think that the AFC it's loaded and locked in for quite a few years. Trevor Lawrence could come in and do some really good things, but even that, I think, is going to take him a couple of years to kickstart. So if I had to make a futures bet, based off of percentages, I would say that he does not get to an AFC championship game in the next 3 years or next five, probably even before Jacksonville moves him on down the road.
We'll say this. If he wins, and I don't even think he needs to win a Super Bowl, But if he goes to some AFC championship games and he gets them as a really good team, Urban Meyer's to me is one of the best coaches in football history.
Yep. Seals his legacy with me.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you just did what you did in college and you did it with professional athletes. That takes more tweaking than Madonna doing music in the early 80s and then being able to keep it cool in the early 2000s.
Okay.
She adjusted a lot. And Madonna stayed relevant. I mean, even in the early 2000s.
I mean, she went from, mid-84, 85 to, I don't know, she's pretty relevant into the.
What was her first hit? Like 82, wasn't it? 80? It was it Holiday or Like a Virgin?
Holiday.
So she did it for a long time. A lot of adjustments. And she did a little bit of rap, too, if you remember. 83.
Wow.
And she did a little rap, too. You remember when she got into the rap game?
Yeah.
She was good at that.
Yeah. Not really. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Adam's with us once again, live here at Built Bar. It's your New Year's resolution, eat healthier food, eat tastier food. We love the bars. I'm a huge fan, though, of everything that Built Bar is putting together right now. And you have an opportunity to expand your horizons. You've got some stuff to help the immune system as well.
Yeah, so in addition, I mean, the bars are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's statement number one, right? But Built Boost is this new product that, I mean, I should say newish product, but it's replacing people's emergency. It's replacing people's airborne. And really in a time in a season right now where your health is maybe more front of mind than ever before, the idea of being healthy and being active and having something that really tastes great and is really good for you, it's an exciting time.
I take the Boost every single day, because you're nervous about what's going on in the world right now. And I've always, in years previous, especially during, basketball season, when I'm trying to avoid, the voice going out on me, I will take emergency every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I ran across the Boost here to remote, and you compare the ingredients and the vitamin supplements in the Boost to emergency, Boost destroys it. Yeah.
Yep.
It's not even close.
Excuse my language.
Yeah, it's all good.
You can edit that out.
Yeah.
Lloyd, hopefully he picked up on that.
Lloyd.
Just kidding.
don't. We have had clients we've had to dump before. Adam, yeah. I'm not worried about that.
Never worried about Adam anytime he's on.
Hello, Travis.
So let me bear my testimony real fast about Boost.
Okay.
Because this stuff really has changed my life. Like just real quickly, it's a powder that you put into water. You can shake it up. And it tastes amazing. So first of all, like if you're going to do a taste test between Boost and Emergency and Airborne,
oh yeah,
you'll choose Boost 100 times out of 100. But it's better for you, and beyond just being better for you, it's funny. It's like that's something that we all know that like we should prevent against sickness. We should prevent against whatever is out there. But in addition, like. I started taking Boost every day, and I'd get home from work, and I, like, wanted to play with my kids. I wanted to throw my boy up in the air again, and I'd laugh with them, and my relationship with my wife was better. Like, this Boost is really life-changing. It really is. I feel like I got my energy back. I feel like I got life back into my life.
Can our listeners get 20% off that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that 20% off deal is a big deal. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we're here in January. Let's all, like, lose 20% off our waistline. Let's lose 20% off the cost of the product.
I
so
agree.
use the promo code ZONE, and we'll give you 20% off anything you can find on the site. And that Boost product, I'm not kidding, is incredible.
Yeah.
It will change your life.
Yeah, I will. I'm 100% behind you on that one, too. And you know, honestly, I took it more for the immune system than I did necessarily energy, but the energy is right there too. That was kind of the cherry on top for me. I just wanted a supplement to make sure I didn't, get sick. And then you throw the energy on top of it. It's great.
Yeah, you can't really pay for how you feel,
yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
But the fact that you can take this supplement that is all natural, even the sweetener in it is all natural, and which is crazy because it tastes so good.
Yeah.
But like I said, it'll change your life.
Pomegranate apple, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I love the lemon lime.
Lemon lime's really good, too.
Yeah, these products are crazy. They're good.
Don't give up on that resolution. Built Bar is the answer. The bars, the boost. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code ZONE. Get you 20% off that order. That's promo code ZONE to get 20% off at builtbar.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.